Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated in the Lord's presence. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We advertise this service as a pastors and leaders and ministers only service. And really, we were just expecting some of our helpers, our ministers, who will help us run the service. We know that we invited a lot of folks who would join us, who are joining us virtually, and some of them are obviously going to partake of this ministry, this service afterwards. But I'm very thankful to have some of you come out, and thank you so much for being here. I understand we have guests. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind, because I understand you've already been told it's a very unusual kind of service. I don't want you to be shocked or surprised. It's just not like our typical, you know, service. So we endeavor to just, it's a time when we endeavor to just do a little bit more in the Word of God. We just really want to give some more time without any inhibitions, without any restrictions, without being concerned about anything. You see, we didn't even prepare children's, we didn't even make arrangements for children's service. I know there are a few children preparing for the Sunday service. I saw them in one of the baby rooms. But I hope, and I believe their parents warned them that they could be there for a while. So, so we're just really thankful that you chose to join us tonight. You know, every now and then, I notice as I study the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that every now and then, you know, most of his ministry was really to people and crowds, and many of them faces unknown, but there were targeted ministries that the Lord Jesus Christ was engaged in to specific people, to people that were really key. People that he could interact with one-on-one, people he could talk with, people he could ask questions, people he could challenge, he could stir up. You can do that with the crowds. You can do that with the faceless. You can do that with, but you can do that. You can do that with those key people, whether they are virtual or whether they are in person. And one of the benefits of that is you are really able to drill in. Right? It's really a nuts and bolts kind of service, kind of ministry, right? It's not like this well-cooked meal where, you know, we're trying to start somewhere and make it all beautiful and nice. No, the Holy Spirit just has a lot of things that he wants to say to us. Amen. And that he wants to minister directly to our hearts, ministers, pastors, leaders, those who play key roles in the kingdom of God. So that's really my focus tonight. It's not really well fine-tuned or anything. I really don't care about that. I just have just a lot of things that the Lord's kind of just burned in my heart for this particular meeting tonight. And we're not praying over people. At the end, I think we'll pray. I would actually start out also with one of Paul's prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, just before we get going, because, you know, it's not really the volume, it's the voice. It's not the volume, how much we say and how loud we say it and all of that stuff. It's really the voice of God that we hear, right? It's the voice of God, and we desire that each of us will hear the voice of God, right? For ourselves, right? And yeah, I guess it's a benefit to have a few people I can talk to, right? Instead of always looking into the camera. But I'm not leaving you out if you are out there. I'm fully conscious of your being there, and my heart is with you, and I'm fully giving everything to you as well. But it's just such a blessing to have one or two people here I can touch and look at and praise God. Let's start out with a prayer. We'll start out with a prayer, and we'll close out with a prayer as well when we get to the end. Whenever it is the Holy Spirit says, cut it out, we're done tonight, then we'll cut it out. But in Ephesians chapter 1, this is a prayer. I want you to open there. Let's pray this prayer over ourselves together as we get going tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and from verse 15. Paul, he prayed this prayer. He says, "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." This is verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So let's ask for that first as we get going tonight. Lord, I ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I ask, God, that the eyes of my understanding are enlightened so that I may know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And you have put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is your body, the fullness of him that fills all in all." Amen. We receive that tonight. Amen. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding enlightened. We receive that. We receive that. That our hearts are flooded with the light of the gospel tonight. That the word of God finds a landing ground inside of our hearts tonight. In the name of Jesus, that distractions are minimal to nothing. Minimal to non-existent completely. In the name of Jesus, that we can receive fully everything that our Father has prepared for us as we walk with him and as we move on together with him on our journey, on our calling. Some of us are ministers, some of us are leaders in different areas, and some of us are pastors, and some of us are even other parts of the fivefold ministry, apostles and evangelists and teachers and prophets and pastors and all of that. And Lord, in our walk with you, as we continue to move on, and Lord, as we receive, God, beyond what is normally received, we receive grace to walk in the fullness of that. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So you see what a place of privilege it is to be called God's ministers. This is such great privilege, right? Because you see there when he talks about Jesus, what God the Father, so by the operation of the working of God the Father, Jesus was raised from the dead, right? You know that the resurrection is no myth, right? The resurrection is the most powerful event that has happened in the history of humanity, right? When the Son of God died on the cross, and when he was buried, and on the third day he rose up from the dead, and then he ascended to the Father in heaven. It is very important as believers that we become familiar with the heart and the thinking of God where the process of resurrection was concerned. Remember that even though Jesus died on the cross, his journey of redemption of man did not end at the cross. Right? We can't be cross Christians. We can't be cross Christians. As sweet as the cross is, there's forgiveness, there's blood flowing there, there's everything good. But we cannot be cross Christians. We have to go beyond the cross. Amen. Jesus went beyond the cross. Yes. Hallelujah. To stay at the cross is to just embrace religion. Oh. Right? To just say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Jesus died for me. Period. Oh. That's not God's best. Yeah. certainly as ministers, as leaders in the kingdom of God, none of us, we're not going to make it being cross Christians. If we stop at the cross, we will not make it, right? Because the place of power, the place of victory, the place of glory was really at the ascension. Amen. It was when he rose from the dead, and then when he rose from the dead, he rose up and sat on the right hand of the Father. So we have a place of privilege because we are seated right there with him. When he rose to the right hand of the Father, the Bible says God raised us up with him. So by the operation of God the Father, Jesus was raised from the dead, but we were raised together with him. Amen. This was the operation of God the Father. We were raised together with him and we were seated with him. You see that right there in Ephesians chapter 2. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we're told Jesus is seated far above all principalities and powers and all of that. But in Ephesians chapter 2, we see there from verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ." The word "together" is very powerful. That word "together" shows up a lot of times in the epistles. I want you to pay attention to that word, because everything that God the Father did for Christ or did with Christ, he also did with the church. Amen. Is together. He didn't raise Christ separate and then raise the church separate. We don't have a different resurrection. It's together. So everything that was made available to Jesus was made available to us. And all of this happened by the operation of the faith of God. God himself worked all of this out. You see there where he says, he has, in verse 6, he has raised us up together and made us sit together. Amen. Together. See how this together word shows up multiple times in this scripture. Because the Lord is showing us, he's trying to help us see that Jesus is not just in a class all by himself. Yes, he's in a class all by himself, but he took us with him. Amen. We are right there together with him. Amen. Right. Now, you can't understand that and you can't appreciate that if you stop at the cross. If you stop at the cross, you will not have that revelation. Because at the cross, you simply see the Son of God hanging on the tree and saying, my Father, why have you forsaken me? And he gave his life for our sins. He's the Lamb of God that gave his life for the sins of the world. That's what you see. But that's not what we're reading here in Ephesians. What we're reading here in Ephesians is way beyond what happened after the cross. The cross was the price he paid. That price means nothing if we don't get to this together point. If we don't get to this together status, that price means entirely nothing. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. We are forgiven. Praise God. Yes, we receive forgiveness of our sins. Glory to God. But that's not, because the reason this is a pastors and leaders and ministers summit is because we want to begin to see ourselves as the Lord has, you know, mandated and as the Lord has directed us, we want to begin to see ourselves as the little Jesuses that are on this earth right now. Amen. He is no longer here, he's in heaven. But we are here, right? If redemption stopped at the cross, then when Jesus left for heaven, there was no remnant of that walk left. There was no continuity for that work. If Jesus left and he didn't leave some part of what the Father did through him here on this earth, then the gospel cannot be reproduced and preached around the world to millions and millions of people who never had the opportunity to meet Jesus. The reason the gospel can be preached today is because God has raised up other people just like Jesus. Amen. Just like Jesus. Amen. He raised up other people. These people are called ministers. Yes. They are called pastors. They are called leaders. They are called, and all these other different levels of function and service in the body of Christ. But all of these people have exactly the same grace and the anointing that Jesus had when he walked right here on this earth. Are you following this? So you see, he says there in verse 6, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, these ages in which we are right now, long after Jesus has ascended, in the ages to come, he could show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Amen. In the ages to come. How is he going to do that? Through us. The work continues.
Yes.
The work did not stop at the cross.
Amen.
The work continues.
Yes.
And everything that Jesus needed to do the work, we will need to do the work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everything Jesus needed to do the work, we will need to do the work. So God the Father has equipped us with everything that we need. See right there where he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works. So you can't boast about it. So even though we say we have a place of privilege, because we are like Jesus, we are called to walk like Jesus, we are called to continue his ministry and his assignment, we cannot boast about it. Because it wasn't because we did something special. It wasn't because we qualified. No, it's by grace. It's by grace. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you can't boast about it. But even though you can't boast about it, it is still a place of privilege.
Yes.
Amen.
Even though you can't boast about it, you can't take the credit for it. Even then, it is still a place of privilege. He said right there in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do the same work that Jesus also did. Hallelujah. I said we are created to do exactly the same work that Jesus was called to do. Amen. Hallelujah. We are little Christs on the earth. I said we are little Christ in the earth.
Amen.
The Bible says we are not just partial, we are actually complete. Go to the book of Colossians. Go to the book of Colossians. Let's read from chapter 2. He says, therefore, I would that you knew or you know what conflict I have for you, from verse 1 I'm reading, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In who? In Jesus. In Jesus. But then go back down, go all the way down to verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you read that in your Bible?
Yes.
In who? In Jesus. In Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But then look at the next verse. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. I want you to see how this works in the heart of God. Everything God the Father did with Jesus, he did with you. Everything God the Father did for Jesus, he did for you.
Amen.
Now, that's so for every believer, every child of God, but it is more important, more so, if you are a minister of the gospel. You have to imbibe this. You have to understand this. You have to receive this. Because this is God's only way of getting the good news to the world.
Yes.
This is God's only way of getting the good news to the world. You have to buy into this. You have to have a revelation of this. You see that if you just back up a little bit to verse 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So it is not enough to receive Jesus as Lord. If you are satisfied with the cross and what God did at the cross, then you are satisfied with just receiving Jesus as your Lord. But the work didn't stop there. The work of redemption didn't stop at the cross. He said, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up. You must be rooted. Ministers can no longer be peripheral. Ministers who are peripheral will be blown away like a reed. It is dangerous enough to call yourself a minister. Because once you call yourself a minister, there's a target on your back. And I don't use that term loosely, you call yourself, because you didn't call yourself, God called you. We've just read it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't call yourself. God called you.
Yes.
But once God called you and you recognized and you obeyed and you heeded his call, and now you are called a minister or leader or pastor or whatever it is you are in the body of Christ, now there is a target on your back. So you cannot be peripheral. It is dangerous for a minister to be peripheral. A minister who is peripheral is playing with fire. This is my title. A place of privilege. A place of great dangers. And a place of many unparalleled victories. That's the place of being called a minister. It's a place of privilege. Is a place of great dangers. And it is a place of many unparalleled victories. As you have therefore received, he says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. You have to walk in him. You can no longer walk in yourself. You can no longer walk in your own ideas. You are now a part of the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is a way of life. When you become a citizen in the kingdom of God, you are no longer an ordinary human being. No matter what nation you are a citizen of, that's your natural heritage. But your spiritual heritage is you are now a citizen of the kingdom of God. So life becomes very different for you. I need you, God needs you to get this understanding and this revelation tonight. You must walk in him. Walk ye in him. Not walk in you. Walk in him. How many ministers have you heard say, well, that's just the way I think about it. That's just what I'm going to do about it. You are walking in you. And it's dangerous.
Yes.
It's a place of many dangers. There are targets on your back. Hallelujah. You have to walk in him. Walk in Jesus. You have to walk. You have to follow him every day. Follow him every day. Your calling as a child of God and as a minister is to become more and more like Jesus every day. Taking little steps, big steps, little steps, big steps. Becoming more and more like Jesus every day. As you have received Jesus, walk in him. But don't just walk in him. Become rooted.
Yes.
Become rooted and built up in him and establish in the faith. These words describe who a minister is.
Yes.
Rooted. You cannot just be blowing like a little twig, you know, just blowing with every wind, just blowing. No, no, no. You are a minister. Be rooted.
Yes.
Be rooted. One of the things that marks you out immediately, once you become a minister, you become rooted. It doesn't happen overnight, but you are committed to becoming rooted. Amen. Look at the disciples of Jesus. When he called them, they were not rooted. They were not rooted. Right? But as they continued to walk with him, they became rooted. One of the first things that must happen for you to be rooted is you must have revelation knowledge. You must have revelation knowledge. It is revelation knowledge that gets you rooted. You cannot be rooted without revelation knowledge. As a matter of fact, let me say this to you. Without revelation knowledge, the devil doesn't care too much about you. Because you are like that little twig. He knows he blows a little air, you are gone. He doesn't know, he doesn't even, like if you, you know, it's not going to bother you too much. Sometimes people who are not rooted, they go through little things and they think the whole world is collapsing. They think heaven is stopping. You see, it's just, the devil just blew at them, just a little bit. He didn't even bring out any secret weapon yet. He just uses every day. Can you put up for us in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32? And put that up in the Amplified for just a minute, please. Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. Just put it up in the Amplified. You can look up there. It's right there. It's going to be right there. We're going to come right back here to this Colossians because I want to finish something there. And the Lord said, this is Peter. This is one of the ones he first called. And the Lord said unto Peter, Simon. Thank you, that's the Amplified. Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively. Somebody say excessively. Excessively. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and out of the keeping of God. That he may do what? That he may sift all of you like grain. You know how you sift? You're trying to separate chaff from, you know, you blow that and then you blow off. You blow off the chaff, right? That's all it is. That's all it is. Sometimes when people think the worst is happening and Satan is going to destroy, he's just blowing. That's all. But look at what he says. He has asked that you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God so that he may sift all of you like grain. Now look at the next verse, verse 32. He says, but I have prayed, watch this, especially for you, Peter. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith fail not. And when you yourself have turned again, do what? Strengthen and establish your brethren. At this point in Peter's life, he had received revelation. You remember? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to come back to Colossians in just a minute. He had received revelation. Revelation marks you in the kingdom of God. Revelation is the first key that gives you mastery in authority in the kingdom of God. Without revelation, you cannot even operate in authority. Without revelation, knowledge is what I mean. Revelation, knowledge. I don't mean you are seeing visions in the night. Because you have to explain these things. That sometimes, I don't know who is joining. I assume it's all ministers and pastors. But, you know, there might be a Christian who has just gone to church all their life. Say, revelation? I've never seen revelation before. So where does that put me? No. Revelation, knowledge. What is revelation, knowledge? Revelation, knowledge is when something that was only available to God becomes available to you through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Yes. By the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Revelation knowledge is when something that was only previously only available to God now becomes available to you by the operation of the Holy Spirit through the word of God. Revelation is the first key that enables you to walk in authority. Without revelation knowledge, you cannot walk in authority. You can hear a million messages and a million teachings on the authority of a believer and how a believer is supposed to have dominion. But without revelation knowledge, you will never walk in authority. You will never be able to walk in authority. Because in order to exercise spiritual authority, you have to have the keys of the kingdom. One of the first keys of the kingdom that you must have is revelation knowledge. That is only available from the word of God. So a Christian who is peripheral, a minister, a pastor, a leader who is peripheral, just on the surface all the time, you cannot walk in authority. You can't. Look at that in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said to Peter, with the scripture we just read just now in Luke chapter 22, he said, Satan has asked excessively for you. We don't know exactly when Satan asked for them. We don't know exactly when Satan started asking for Peter especially. What we do know is Jesus said, I have prayed for all of you, but for you, Peter especially. And I know the reason Jesus prayed for Peter especially was because Peter had revelation knowledge.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
The revelation knowledge that Peter had put him in a class separate from the rest of the disciples. And so you see in that prayer, Jesus said, I prayed for you. And when you become converted, or when that your faith will not fail, and when you become, then strengthen your brethren, give them the same rootedness, the same establishment that you have received. How did Peter receive it? Through the word of God, through revelation. In Matthew chapter 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ. You are the Christ. Remember Jesus was saying, who do men say that I am? You can read this in the newspapers. You can read this in the magazines. Like everybody reads news items every day. You can read things in the Bible that mean nothing to you. Who do men say that I am? And they started telling some, say you're Elijah, some you're John the Baptist, some you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And silence. All of them went silent. Because they had read all these things, but they had not received revelation. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. So this is revelation.
Yes.
This is revelation. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And then he said unto him, and I say also unto you, Peter, you are Peter. And upon this rock, it's not you, Peter, this rock. No, upon this rock of this revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to notice immediately that as soon as Jesus talked about building his church, immediately he said the gate of hell will fight. I want you to notice it's a place of privilege, but a place of great dangers. Revelation puts a mark on your back. It puts a target on your back. When you receive revelation knowledge, you immediately get Satan's attention. Jesus said, you will receive revelation, and I will build my church on this revelation you receive of who I am, being Christ. He said, and the gate of hell is going to come against you. They are going to come, but they will not prevail. I said, they will not prevail.
Amen.
Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a privilege. They will come, but they will not prevail. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail. Why? Because I have already given you the tools you need to overcome.
Hallelujah.
I have already given you everything you need to overcome. So you don't need to walk in fear. You don't need to walk in torment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at it. He says, and the gates of hell, I will, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he said, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you will bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you lose on earth shall be losing heaven. You know, you have to understand what this scripture means literally. There are certain translations that say, whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in. This is spiritual authority.
Yes.
When human beings upon the earth say, no, we refuse this.
Yes.
And it is refused.
Amen.
When a storm is blowing, and he's trying to break down everything and destroy everything, and a man or a woman of authority gets up and says, peace be still. I refuse to let this be.
Yes.
And immediately heaven commands it to stop.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So I have given to you, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. Now, let me ask you. When Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, Satan has asked excessively for you. When was the first time that we saw the evidence of that? When Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked excessively for you, but I have prayed for you. When was the first time we saw the evidence? Remember, Peter is called. But being called is not enough. He's called, he's one of Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' apostles. Yes, praise God, glory, hallelujah. You know, he carries the bag, he walks with him. When Jesus needs something done, he sends him, glory, hallelujah. But that doesn't really, that means nothing to Satan. Means nothing to him. That's why you can have people in church decades and decades, because they are not making a dent in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of darkness. They are not. When Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, he is saying, through you I will build my church. Through you.
Amen.
That is, you will be the agency. You will be the agents that will help me build my church. And let me tell you, the gates of hell will fight, but they will not prevail against you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, when Jesus said, Satan has asked excessively for you, but I pray for you. When was the first evidence He's a minister. He carries the bag. He's called. Then we know now he got revelation. All the other disciples didn't get revelation, but Peter got revelation. When was the first time Satan put a target on Peter's back? When he got revelation. When was the first time the kingdom of darkness forcefully came against Peter? When he got revelation. Because right here in this same scripture, after he said unto him, I say unto you, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatsoever you ban. Right? Then go down to verse 22. After Jesus talked about what he was about to do, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you. Now, if this was just Peter talking, Jesus would not have said what he said. This was not Peter talking. This was somebody talking through Peter. For a minute, Peter received revelation, but he wasn't rooted in it yet. He received revelation, but he was not established in it. And for a split minute, he switched back to his mind and his emotion. Revelation in his heart told him, Jesus is the Christ. His mind and his emotion told him, but it is not right for him to die. But it was somebody who took hold of his mind. And so when Jesus responded to Peter, the Bible says there in verse 23, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter, he was talking to Satan. He wasn't talking to Peter, he was talking to Satan. And why? Because Peter was not yet rooted. He had revelation, but he was not rooted in it. He was not established in it. Just the fact that you have a few good days and you can rattle off a few good scriptures and you have a few good miracles happen in your life does not mean you are rooted in revelation. Satan has your number. Are you listening to me, ministers?
Yes, sir.
And pastors and leaders?
Yes.
Just the fact that you can preach a few good sermons that are powerful does not mean you are rooted in revelation. No. Just the fact that you can tell Jesus to his face, he is the Christ, and he said, wow, it wasn't you in flesh and blood, it was my Father himself who told you. Doesn't mean you are rooted in that revelation. Well, you want to see the evidence he wasn't rooted in this revelation? Go right back to Luke chapter 22, where Jesus said, I have prayed for you, because Satan has asked excessively for all of you, but I prayed for you, especially Peter. Go right back there to Luke chapter 22. And hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go a little deeper, can we?
Yes.
Okay, look at verse 31. Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and the keeping of God, so that he may sift you, all of you, like wheat, like grain. Go on to the next verse. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Go on to the next verse. And Simon Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison. Did Jesus say anything about prison? Did Jesus say anything about death? Where is all this thing coming from?
From his mind.
Mind and emotion. Mind and, go on to the next. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Go on to the next one. But Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, this is revelation now. See, he is not rooted in revelation. He got a flash of revelation. And Jesus acknowledged. But revelation put a target on his back. Ancestors said, I'm going to shake you like wheat. You think you have revelation, I'm going to shake. And if you know Peter's story, you know he shook him. He really shook him. Oh, he shook him real bad. He shook him very, very bad. He shook him so bad that after Jesus rose up from the dead, he had to send Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out seven devils. No. This is true. This is not in your Bible. Mary Magdalene, Jesus cast out seven devils out of this woman. This was the woman who went to look for Peter, where he was hiding in the basement, to tell him, Jesus mentioned your name after he rose from the dead. Man, you know, he was in a bad spot. He was in a very, very... When you need someone who was delivered out of seven devils to be the prophetess, to prophesy to you, a whole apostle, hey, you are in a bad place. You are very, very, very bad place. But what was it? Did Peter have revelation knowledge? Yes. Did he receive revelation knowledge? Yes. Was he rooted in revelation knowledge? No. And Jesus gave him another revelation. I say unto you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me that thou knowest me. And he said unto him, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And he said, nothing. You know the story, the rest of that story, in the way it's told us in other gospels, that even when Jesus was telling him, you will deny me, he was swearing it will never happen. He was swearing. Revelation knowledge put a target on your back. As a minister of the gospel, as a leader over God's people, Satan is coming after you. Satan is coming after you. You really matter to God, but you also really matter to Satan. You really matter to God, but you really also matter to Satan. Go right back there quickly to Colossians chapter 2. Let's read a few more verses back there. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Well, you know what? Hold on. Before we come back here to Colossians chapter 2, let's go to the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. Right? Because there in the parable of the sower, and we won't read it because we all know it. You know, we read it, you know, Sundays. You know, we all know this story. So I'm not really about trying to preach from there. But I just want to show you something. I want to show you something. Revelation knowledge puts a target on your back. Whenever you receive something sacred from God, you get Satan's attention. Whenever you receive something sacred from God, you get Satan's attention. Revelation knowledge puts a target on your back. Mark chapter 4. You see where Jesus was explaining the parable again, because we don't have time. I just want to show this to you. Remember when he started explaining the parable to them? And let's read it from verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Watch this. But when they have heard, what happens? Satan comes immediately. Somebody say immediately. Somebody say immediately. He comes immediately and takes away the word sown. Where was the word sown? It tells you right there. Where was the word sown? In their hearts. But Satan doesn't want that word established in your heart. In order for revelation to profit you, in order for revelation to move you forward on your journey with God, revelation has to be sown in your heart. It can't just be something you know in your mind. It has to be sown in your heart. Pastors and ministers, hear me. The word that you teach, the word that you preach, but that you don't walk in, is not yet sown in your heart. To gather a lot of scriptures and be able to preach a good word, and be able to exhort people, and be able to encourage people, that does not mean that word is sown in your heart. The only word that truly benefits your life is the one that is sown in your heart. He says this, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And then he goes on to describe the other kinds of soils and seeds and things. But I want you to know, revelation that is not established in your heart will be stolen by Satan. He won't just steal that revelation. He will attack you for that revelation. He will attack you for that revelation. It has to be sown in the heart. Go to Luke chapter 6 real quickly. We'll go back to Colossians in just a minute. He has to be sown in the heart. This is where the hard work of engaging with the word of God is. The word of God has got to be sown in the heart. Until the word of God is sown in the heart, it is not secure. In fact, now, because you have become a custodian of that revelation knowledge, there is a target on your back. Satan doesn't just want to take the word, he actually also wants to take you. Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but what? To steal, to kill. And he doesn't just want the word, he wants you. Jesus said to Peter in Luke chapter 22, we've read it two times, three times tonight. He said he has asked excessively, not for the word in you. He has asked for you. Put that scripture back up, please. Luke 22, 31, 32, in the Amplified. Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and the keeping of God so that he may sift all of you like wheat. He doesn't want your... Yes, he wants to take the word, but his ultimate goal is to destroy you. These are the dangers and the perils of being a minister. Satan wants to destroy you. And he will not stop. He's like that serpent we've been learning about in the services here at Abundant Life on Sundays. He will not stop until he has ruined everything. He's a master strategist. If you duck him today, he can wait 6 months before he comes back. But he's coming back. If you duck him after 2 years, he's still patient.
Remember, he has many other people to go and work with. See, by the time he works with like 10 other people, 6 months has passed. Then he's back to you. He has time. My question to you is, do you have time? Do you have time with the word? Do you have time with revelation? Do you have time with Jesus? Because the work is done. There's a factory where the work is done. There's some place where that word is imparted to you, where it changes your life. It saves your soul. It saves your soul. It is engrafted in your heart. It saves your soul. It puts the light of God's revelation on your path. So that, watch this. You are not only blessed, but then you can bless other people.
Amen.
You are not only delivered, but you can deliver other people.
Yes.
You are not only saved, but you can save other people. Remember, this is where we started from. This is the goal of the gospel.
Amen.
It's not to stop at the cross. One Jesus. No. God wants many Jesuses. That's why he raised you together. You remember the word together?
Together.
Gave you everything Jesus has. Gave you the same Holy Spirit. Gave you the same graces. Gave you the same anointing. Satan will not stop until he ruins everything. He's very patient. He's going to keep eating away like an ant with wood. He's going to slowly, you look at that wood, you know, it's good. You know, people say to you, are you sure this? Yeah, it's okay. You just see a few little crumbs around it. You sweep it, you know, it's okay. You know, one day you come in there and there's a big hole. And you find that wood is totally destroyed. Satan is very masterful. He's very strategic. I was going to show a video tonight. In my preparation, because you know, these things are all, we have to follow the Holy Spirit. God just has maximum, and there's something he wants to achieve. And for him, it's like that video, just leave it off.
Amen.
So I have no video. Sorry, I advertised the video, but I don't have it. It's a very good video, though. But I can't show it. It's a video of a serpent. But the Lord said, just put the light on him from my word.
Amen.
Just put the light on him. But don't even spend too much time on him. But I'm responsible to telling you about him. You've seen some of his works right now. You've seen it. The word has to be engrafted in your heart. It is when the word gets into your heart that it changes you. What makes the difference between someone who, a minister, who is down here one day, and then he goes up here the other day, is the word being engrafted in his heart. You know that even from Peter's story. Remember, he went and hid, and Mary Magdalene came and told him, Jesus called for you, and you know, all the different things that happened. But on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, you remember, in Acts chapter 2, and everybody came, they thought they are drunk. Guess who got up and started to speak the word? But this time, he wasn't quoting. He was quoting prophecy from Jonah, but he was telling the crowd out of the revelation that was established in him. Established. It wasn't a one-off revelation. He was telling, this is that. With Joel spoke. With God spoke by the prophets. When he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And this time, he's not preaching it just like text and no. He's telling him as clear revelation How do I know? Because a few days later, they walked by a man in front of the gate, beautiful. If it was just a short-lived revelation, something he was just preaching, it will never come back again. He came back again. He said, look on us. Silver and gold we have none, but such as we have, we give unto. He was establishing that revelation. He was establishing that revelation. Look at Luke chapter 6 real quickly. Look at Luke chapter 6. Let's read just a couple of verses so we can wrap this up tonight. Let's start winding this down. Glory to God. I think the Lord helped us. Somebody say, we're receiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're receiving your word. We're receiving revelation. We're receiving understanding. The eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. We're receiving. We're seeing it clearly. We're rising up. We're receiving great grace and walking in the inheritance that we have been given in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this in Luke chapter 6. Look at it. Let's read a couple of verses there. He says there in verse 43, for a good tree does not bring forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's impossible. You will produce after your kind. I want to read a couple of notes to you from our first ever pastor's. This year we had a first ever pastor's boot camp during our Daniel fast. There were a couple of notes that I just want to excise a couple of those notes and read them to you so you can hear. And we have it on record too for the general public. Listen, everything you produce in your life, what you eventually become in your life and in your destiny, ministry, family, future, career, and all of that, will be ultimately determined by who you are and not what you can do. Yes. Who you are. Who you are. What I have observed from many years of just observing in the ministry and watching very closely is that there is a very clear line of distinction that becomes very wide with the passage of time. Those who minister and live from the core of who they are, they become established and fruitful long into their old age. Those who minister and live from the skills, abilities, and charisma that they have usually fizzle out over time. Check it out. They fizzle out over time. Who you are, ministers and leaders and pastors, who you are is determined by what is resident in you. Yes. What is resident in you? Yes. See, because right here in this scripture, Jesus said, it is out of what is in abundance that you will produce fruit. That's what he said. See that scripture right there? What verse were we reading? Verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man or woman out of the good treasure. Somebody say good treasure. A good man or woman out of the good treasure of their heart will bring forth that which is good. It is the treasure of your heart that is producing your destiny. You know, you can pray until kingdom come, Lord, I want this miracle. Lord, I want this breakthrough. Lord, I want this new life. I want this success, this level of success. I want this grandiose level of success. I want to operate at a higher level. I want to, glory. I want to go higher than anybody I've ever known. Those are very good prayers. But what will see to it? That desire of your heart that aligns with God's will for you is produced, is the treasure of your heart. Is the treasure. As a minister, you have a target on your back. Satan will fight you. Let's close here. Let's start winding this down. I can't talk much about this. But because you share equality with Jesus, think for a minute. When we think about the privilege of sharing equality with Jesus, think for a minute about what Satan did to Jesus. You remember when he says you are joint heirs with Christ? You will share his glory if you suffer with him. You remember this scripture in Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 14. Think for a minute what Satan did to Jesus. Now, are you raised together with him or not? Do you share equality? Are you sure?
Yes.
Do you share equality with him or not? Okay.
Yes.
So think what Satan did to Jesus. Do you have that scripture in Romans 8? I think it's Romans 8, 14. We're going to come right back here and close. Quick. We're going to close in a minute. It's 9 o'clock, I think. It is 9 o'clock, right? Let's close right here. And I think we're reaching that saturation point. I can feel that we're getting there. Glory to God. And we have enough to chew on for a while. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's our first pastors and ministers leader summit in our open heavens. But we're going to do it again and again and again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord is going to help us.
Amen.
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 Just to set apart time to minister to ministers. Just to set apart time to strengthen the hand of God's leaders and God's servants and those who are laboring in the kingdom of God, and to just put some light from the word of God on their path so that they are not struggling and just trying to find their way, but they can see clearly.
Amen.
They can see clearly. Hallelujah. And when you can see clearly, and when you begin to... The reason revelation is so dangerous is because when you carry the light of God's revelation, then the world is in trouble. Satan is in trouble. Because remember the Bible says about Jesus, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend. Because everywhere you go with that revelation, darkness has to move. He can't comprehend it. Everywhere you carry that revelation, darkness, as the word of God is going forth tonight, revelation knowledge is going, there's darkness is receding. Darkness is moving back. So one servant of God that I listened to recently said, be careful, because Satan is going to come at you with everything he has. But don't worry about it. I said, don't worry about it. The Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you shall ever prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment you will condemn. This is your heritage as a servant of the Lord, and your righteousness is of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at it. And if children, Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. The suffering, as we close this out tonight, the suffering is in resisting Satan and his forces. Remember Jesus said, I will build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. The suffering is in resisting. Have you ever heard the term resisting arrest? Have you ever heard that term, resisting arrest? Like a police person, somebody's, because you've done something and you know they want to book you or whatever, and you start fighting against arrest, like you don't want, you start doing crazy stuff, you know, throwing things at them, and you know, you shouldn't do this, but I mean, that's what it means to resist.
Don't quote me. Don't quote me. I say, Pastor, while he was preaching under the anointing, he said we should resist arrest. And he even gave us examples of things we can do to resist arrest. You say that. I did not say that. But to resist is has suffering. It has suffering. When you resist, it means you are fighting back. When Satan tries to put sickness on your body, you fight back. Oh, shata kabara kababa. When Satan tries to bring poverty into your life, you fight back. When Satan brings the evil forces of darkness and he comes against you, remember Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Yes. They will not prevail. Why? Because the church will fight back. Yes. The church will fight back. Yes. The church will resist him. Yes. The church will say, no, I resist arrest. Yes. I resist attack. Yes. I resist attack. Yes. Hallelujah. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. The glory comes with the suffering, but the suffering is in resisting. The suffering is, go quickly, just go quickly. 1 Peter 5:8, quickly. Quickly. Let's read a couple of those verses, then we're ready to close tonight. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Look at it. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, what's he doing? He's walking about. He has targets on the back of people. He's looking for whom he may devour. Say, you may not devour me. Say, you may not devour me. No, you may not be devoured. You may not devour me. I'm raised up with Christ. I sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. You may not devour me. You may not attack me. You may not stop me. I resist you. Hallelujah. Look at it. Seeking whom he may devour. Go on to the next verse. Watch this now. Watch this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist steadfast. That means if you try to resist one time and it doesn't back down, you resist further. You resist harder. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Knowing that the same afflictions, that word affliction, same attack, trials, are accomplishing your brethren that are all over the world. Watch this. But this is not the end. The end of the story is not the attack. It's not that the roaring lion came against you. The end of the story should be because you resisted. You resisted steadfast in the faith. Then God, after you have finished resisting, go on to the next verse. He establishes you. Watch this. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have resisted, you can change that. After that you have resisted for a while, he will make you perfect. He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. Hallelujah. That is the end of the story. That is the end of the story. That is the end of the story.
Hallelujah.
Until you are established by God, it's not over. Until you are settled by God, it's not over. Until you are established, until you are rooted, it's not over. Tell Satan, you can't move me out of my place. I am raised up with Jesus. I sit together with Jesus in the heavenly places. I resist your attack. I resist your attack. I resist you steadfast in the faith. My Father, who is the God of all grace, after I have resisted for a while, he will settle me. He will establish me. He will favor me. He will deliver me. He will uphold me. He will move me forward. Hallelujah. 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 Forgive me for preaching at you. It's a leaders and pastors meeting.
but I can't help get excited about the unparalleled victories that are ahead of us. There's unparalleled victory because we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion and might and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. And has set him and put all things under his feet for the benefit of the church, for the privilege of the church, for the victory of the church, the fullness of him that filleth all things in all things. Hallelujah. Stand up with me wherever you are today. Hallelujah. We have to engraft the word. We have to engraft the word. I want you to look up. Look up at me. We're going to pray for just a minute. I want to leave you with an assignment. I want to leave you with an assignment. Revelation knowledge has to become engrafted in your heart. In order for that revelation knowledge to define your future, it has to be engrafted in your heart. There's a lot of work that goes into that. But that's the first assignment that God has given all his leaders, all his ministers, all his pastors, all his shepherds, everywhere. It's the assignment of engrafting the word of God in our hearts, so that our hearts become like his heart. So that we become more and more like Jesus. Your soul is not saved. Your mind and your emotions are not saved. You just saw that from Peter. Even though your spirit is saved, you are born again. The mind has to be renewed constantly by the word of God. We must engraft that word. We must take the time to engraft that word. We must engraft that word. I think that particular word, engraft, I think is in James chapter 1. I think it's verse 23 or verse 25 or something. If you can put it up, just put it up while we're standing here and closing out here. We must engraft the word of God. We must engraft that word. That word cannot be peripheral. You cannot be a peripheral Christian. You can't be a peripheral minister. The word of God must be engrafted. It must be engrafted. The original language is implanted. It's James chapter 1, is it 21? Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Your soul is not saved. Your soul is not saved. No matter how long you have been in church, no matter how long you've been going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, it doesn't matter. Your soul is not saved. Your soul is easily corruptible. Very easily, Satan can gain access to your emotions. Very easily, Satan can gain access to your will. You've heard people say, I'm just stubborn. That's just me. No, that's your soul. Your soul is not saved. You have to break that stubbornness in your soul. And you have to engrave the word of meekness and humility. So that you stop being described as being stubborn, and you are now described as being meek and supple. You have to engraft the word. You have to engraft it. It means to implant it. It means to change the nature. To change the nature and impart that nature into that thing. You have to engraft it. If you take a part of a stem of another fruit tree and put it in another tree and you engraft it there, it's because you want to change the nature of this original tree. You want it to produce and bear you that other kind of fruit. You want to implant it and make it produce that. Pastors and ministers and leaders in the kingdom of God, we have to engraft the word of God. There has to be appreciable change. There has to be appreciable change. Satan has a target on our backs. We can't play church. We can't play church. Other people can play church. We can't play church. We can't come and go. No, we can't. We can, no matter how long it takes, we must be committed to engraft the word. To engraft the word. We are bearers of the light of the gospel. We carry revelation knowledge. It is through the light of the gospel that we help the Lord change the world. We are like Jesus. We are seated high, far above all principalities and powers in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to close out this service by prayer tonight. I want us to pray in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, join me. Let's pray in the spirit. Just pray in the spirit. Open your mouth. Let's pray in the spirit. His loskehista. Mosike. Depre. Kegaso. Tonigavasete. Leporika vaso. Le periada zotonika varosikede jetediva moparika sata matopokorikeke zetedide zeporos ziprada oska jiska zata zotonasko mipra lipredes loprenikasta zotolopre zetedish lipredekas zotonake iske Ma prodis le prodika hos konash zetenivre zatalokos siprehe lo prodis matakus latoniga gegeki lo poraste zetedivaha lo porota kaske manzete zetedive ropokos zetedira zataloporoka zatalekevra Zetenigevish, Liprenigevedes, Lipranagevis, Litanokomara Kasata, Lupare Kasikevis, Laporosata Nigeve, Ishata Laparopa Kaza, Dekevesite de Liparaka Babasuto, Maporonage, Hikarapakos, Dekeveriapa. Masuto nonza keveris zetedikeve zotonozite jitalake zatonopradi heska lopranegeves dopranegevesite jetide ikedivarakis lipranage zateneves mapridikas lopranakesta zotonosta zatenikevre lepredika Ostalaka zotonipre la prodikeves li predika zotolopa esta li prenigedes le predi la poropaka zotonosite zetegeveres zotonosa le perita zatanoko prodi le peripa zatanokobos masite de le prediva Masotonos natotikosta jetedesota zitedesia iteniasato matokosta zatanoskopra lepreniga zatanedes lopranikeves ledidedeshili masatala masotonos lepredivakeria laporose lepredivekesha hiska lafut loporonakege jita laporos lepredivekesi zatonosoto Nepredikedi. Hilaporomas. Lepredia. Zatonokoboros. Lepredivekede. Jita da copra. Leprenigevedes. Lopranigeve. Hiska laprode. Histerekebo. Jita laporoda. Zepronikavas. Lopronikavas. Leprenikavas. Lepredibebe. Lepronoka. Zatonokosite. Jita latokosa. Zipepe fuse. Isetedike. Leprenivekese. Zeforakia. Gepronika babaha. Zotonosete. Jete de devika. Ropopoposite. Zete dinedaha. Zotodokoboshite. Zekenike veria. Zotonopoporo. Zatanike verisa. Zotonike vredis. La popora kaba. Zete dite fere. Zatalopoporos. Zitere papa. Zotonokoboros. Liperika baba. Jete nike vere. Zete dide desha. Zotonokoporo. Zatane prenigede. Zatadite kevesa. Zotonosotodabos. Zite dede shete. Jite dede shete. Satade de shete. Thank you, Jesus. Leprenikes. Zotonos genemish. Romos ante dedesh. Zete dedeshka. Zata dada shuko bradis. Zete dedesh. Reteke devesuko bradis. Repanaka zite neke bradis. Mosikedesh Masotonage Vredishitena Derede de Boshikara Dabasinist Loporo Kazatanestria Zete de Kivradish Zotononskinest. Thank you, Jesus. Zatonoskin Bradishteria. Sita rada dabashu predish kenast. Zata non gradish kerene mastaria. Zata non ko prodish tedekistar. Rapa paka zato doko shikela. Rapa papa kozo kora pakaba. Reke deske pradeva kosko nash. Zeke dev reke devaso komranake sekeria. Jete devre nike voro sataha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless your holy name, O God. We bless your holy name, O God. We lift you up and adore you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in every heart tonight. Thank you for illumination. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for the surgical operation. Zete deve soprahasha. Thank you for lifting us up. Thank you for this place of privilege. Zete deve karokabashi dede. Thank you for this place of authority. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the unparalleled victories. Thank you for the unparalleled victories. Thank you for deliverance from dangers. Thank you for deliverance from dangers. Gedeve koza kadava Roma kadis lebre deve koshi kana makaste mage deve repa kava sumo kongra zapre deve konjo todora babaha zete deve shire le baba basha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we receive it, Lord. We receive it. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Would you put your hands on your heart wherever you are tonight, please? Make this confession of faith with me. Say, in the name of Jesus, the words that I've heard from the Lord tonight, they are for my benefit. They are for my instruction. And because I walk in obedience to the words that I receive tonight from the Holy Spirit, I will continue to walk in my place of privilege. I will continue to sit together with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and dominion and might and every name that is named, both in this world and in the world that is to come. And because I walk in obedience to the instructions that I receive tonight, I overcome every danger. I am delivered from every attack in the name of the Lord Jesus. I reign in life with Jesus. I reign in life with Jesus. I resist every opposition. I resist every attack. I resist every suffering. I resist every trial and temptation. I reign with Jesus. I reign with Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Father, I give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bless the name of the Lord. He's so worthy. He's so worthy.